Intelligent Careers, I know how painful it was for you to hand that trophy over, which is why I'm pointing it out again. I just have to say, I'm just so thankful for the team that I've come into and for pieces that have joined since I've come here. You're really blessed here by the pastoral and office staff of this church, and I'm meeting that apart from me. You can still make the determination on me at this point, but Pastor Barry, Pastor Sam, Bonnie, for the time that she served here when I came, Megan now, Diane, Eric, there's so many that just go into taking care of, whether in a paid role, and there's so many of you who volunteer in such vital ways, and I just want to say from me a thank you to so many of you, especially those that I work with on a day-to-day basis. One reason I had Pastor Barry not say anything about tonight's service is because the name of the presentation tonight is indescribable. So I thought it wouldn't be fair for Barry to try to describe it, so I'll put that on me. If you like science, astronomy in particular, if you just want to see a presentation where by the end of it, you will be moved. If not, there's something wrong with you. That's just all I can say about it. It's a 40-minute DVD presentation that looks at how great our God is, how truly indescribable. If you think your idea of God is big now, you really need to come tonight, because you will be left by going, our God truly is indescribable, and he knows me. So I just want to encourage you to come tonight, 6:30. You will not be disappointed. This morning, we're going to continue our series looking at Jesus' life, trying through the lens of a question, why, and looking at different stages or aspects of his life and ministry. And so last week was, why did Jesus come? This week, why did Jesus teach? Next week, Pastor Sam's going to be, why did Jesus ride? Looking at the triumphal entry in that final week. And then Good Friday, why did Jesus die? Easter, why did Jesus rise? And why did Jesus leave? We'll look at the beginning of May. Last week we looked at, why did Jesus come? And it was basically, the foundation of it was, Jesus came so that we could know God in a fuller and deeper and richer way. We could know that he knows us. But for the period of, and we're going to look at 3.5 years of Jesus' life this morning, and look at trying to find a question of, how do we kind of get a big picture sense of, why did Jesus do what he did? And so I'm using the question this morning, why did Jesus teach? Maybe other questions could be, why did Jesus perform miracles? Or why did teach, to the people he did, or the way he did? Or why did Jesus teach in the style that he did? But this morning I want to go really big picture, right down to what is the foundational reason of why did Jesus teach? And it was about Thursday this week. I don't know why. It was just kind of on a whim, really. I Googled, why did Jesus teach? Just try it when you go home. You won't find it. Why did Jesus teach in parables? Why did Jesus teach, this group? But not just that bigger, broader, to me, a more foundational question. Why did Jesus teach? And to me, and my big picture wired brain, this is an important question. Because Jesus is our example. If we're followers of Jesus, we're called to follow him. Not in the sense of, Jesus wore sandals and a beard, so we wear sandals and a beard. Not in that sense. But we are followers of Jesus, we're called to follow his example in the sense of character, purpose, and mission. That his mission is to be our mission. His purpose is to be our purpose. His character, God says, he has given us the character of Christ. And we're to learn how to live that out. It's in this way that we're called to model who Jesus was. And so last week, we looked at the question, why did Jesus come? The big picture reason being we're called to help others to know God, because that's why Jesus came in the first place. He came so that we could know God. We should go. We should enter into the lives of others so they could get to know God in a deeper, richer way themselves. That's what we're talking about here, of why did Jesus do what he did? And so this week again, why did Jesus teach? And I just have to say this, I'm going to say this a few times this morning, but there's a distinction or a dangerous separation that we make sometimes. And I just need to highlight it here as we're going through. There is a danger for us as Christians in separating the content of what Jesus taught from the purpose for which he taught it. Just to try to give an example, when I did driver ed, my teacher's name was Crazy Vern. That's what we called him as students. He used to put his feet up on the dashboard of the vehicle while we were driving, which I thought was crazy. I mean, I'm learning, and you've got your feet on the dash. Actually, he fell asleep once while I was in the car driving. But there's one thing that I remember he taught over and over again, and it was, I'm not going to teach you just the rules of the road. I'm not going to teach you just how to operate a vehicle. I want to teach you how to be safe, both for yourself and for others around you. See, he taught content for a purpose. Now, I could have taken the content that he gave me and used it to drive as recklessly as I want. I know the rules of the road, so I know what I'm going to be breaking when Barry stops me and says, do you know what you've been doing? I'll go, yes, because I know the rules of the road. I mean, I could have used it for a different purpose. This is a bit of an artificial illustration, granted, but I'm trying to make the point here that if we separate the content of what Jesus taught from the purpose for which he taught it, we can delude ourselves and miss what Jesus was looking to accomplish in the 3.5 years that he taught. So why did Jesus teach? It's an important question. Because knowing his goal should then become, in some measure, our goal as well. And I've been having a little fun this week. I've been asking a few people, not too many within the congregation. I didn't want to kind of steal my own thunder, so to speak. But just talking to a number of my friends through Facebook, email, and other means, and just asking the question, why did Jesus teach? It was interesting, the responses I got. Because the majority of the responses I got, actually Scripture contradicts. But I think they're the common reasons we think why Jesus taught. First one is, Jesus did not teach so that people would follow him. You make it, what? We're not going to look at this passage. I'll encourage you to read it later on. But John chapter 6. John chapter 6 contains, it starts with the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus fed 5,000 men, not including women and children. So this was a crowd that would have been 10,000, maybe even upwards of 20,000 people. And you read John chapter 6, what happens is, here's the crowd, they've been fed by Jesus. Jesus sneaks away from the crowd. In fact, he does it in a creative way. He doesn't take a boat or walk around the lake. He just decides to walk right across it to get away from the crowd. When the crowd gets up that morning, they look around. Jesus isn't there. They decide to take a more conventional method. They walk around the edge of the lake, going to look for him. That's commitment, right? They're going to try to follow Jesus. When Jesus sees the crowd approaching him, he says, guys, you followed me for the wrong reasons. You followed me because I fed you. Your stomachs are full, but now you're hungry again. You should be asking me for spiritual food. You should be asking me for the bread from heaven. And it starts this dialogue. And as the crowd keeps pushing back to Jesus saying, okay, well, give us that. Jesus' teaching, he ramps it up and he makes it more intense. He starts saying, I am the bread of heaven. And when they start saying, well, what do you mean by that? He goes, well, you're going to have to eat of my flesh. And then they really start weirding out. And then Jesus continues to say, well, you guys are going to have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Read chapter 6. It's a fascinating chapter. And the crowd starts melting away. At Jesus' teaching, the crowd, the following, leave. In fact, John chapter 6 even says that some, not the 12 disciples that Jesus specifically called, but this other group that was around them, a little bit larger, even some of them left. And then Jesus turns to the 12 disciples and says, hey guys, what went wrong? Guys, what? Okay, next time we have a crowd, what should I be saying next time? Because obviously that didn't work. That's not what Jesus says. He says to his disciples, are you going to leave now too? This is not the question of a man whose motivation is to create a following. His teaching, in this instance and in others, actually pushed people away. The reason Jesus taught was not to create a following. Jesus also didn't even teach so people would easily understand his message. And again, you might go, well, wait a second. I'm used to hearing Jesus being talked about as a master communicator. He was a master teacher. Yes, he was. But again, what was his purpose? In fact, I'm just going to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 13. And Matthew chapter 13 is a chapter that's just full of parables, stories that illustrated points about the kingdom of God. And so what happens at the beginning of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus teaches a parable, and then the disciples come to Jesus and say, Jesus, why is it when you always talk to the crowds and the people, you use parables so much? Why can't you just be a little bit clearer? And listen to Jesus' words. Then Jesus explained to them, you have been permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others have not. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who are not listening, even what they will have, or even what they have, will be taken away from them. That is why I tell these stories, because people see what I do, but they really don't see. They hear what I say, but they really don't hear and they don't understand. And then he says, this fulfills a prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah, 700 years ago, wrote that the people in his day, and it was a prophecy. Jesus says what Isaiah said then was just as true in his day as it is today. These people aren't interested in hearing the message. And so they don't understand. They don't hear. They don't see. Jesus' teaching was designed so that people who just wanted to have their ears tickled, they wanted to go and they wanted to hear somebody talk about God, or they wanted to have some kind of religious or spiritual experience that I went and I listened to this person and he said some really profound things. I got some really keen insights. But that's the level that they were only going to go to. Jesus' teaching was specifically designed by him for those people that they would leave. They might feel something, but unless they pursued him, they wouldn't gain true understanding of what Jesus was talking about. Because as you continue to go through Matthew chapter 13, it's the disciples who go to Jesus and say, okay, Jesus, we heard that parable. Can you please explain to us what you were talking about? And he does. See, Jesus' teaching was designed so that people would have to pursue him to get a handle on what he was saying. People who just wanted their ears tickled, they would leave unchanged because they didn't want to change. Jesus' teaching was not to make it easy for everyone to understand his message. Jesus also did not teach so that everyone would get the message. It wasn't to spread his message to everyone. Jesus taught large crowds, yes. Sermon on the Mount was a large crowd. 5,000 people, men, not including women and children, that's a large crowd. Most of the time in the Gospels, when there are these large crowds, you read of Jesus saying to his disciples, after that time of mass teaching, guys, let's get away. Guys, we need to move to another place. Guys, we need to go to a place where we're not so well known. Most of the time in the Gospels, when we read the teaching of Jesus, he's talking to specific individuals on specific circumstances, or he is talking to directly the 12. And even when we read the Gospels, of the 12, there were three, Peter, James, and John, that had certain experiences and heard certain messages from Jesus that even the broader 12 didn't get. Jesus did not teach so that he would spread his message to everyone. You know, it's kind of hard after 3.5 years of teaching to call 12 people, 11, a following. And I'm hoping this morning at this point, I'm creating at least some bit of tension in you of going, then why did Jesus teach? Because we've got to understand this, the reason behind it. Because if we don't, we're going to miss something really foundational. And honestly, I think it's something that as a North American church in general, we've lost to a certain degree. Because we have disconnected the content of what Jesus taught from the purpose for which he taught it. So why did Jesus teach? I want you to turn to John chapter 17. That's the fourth of the Gospels. So if you're about two-thirds of the way through your Bible, you'll find the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 17. And we're going to read through, it's not going to be on the screen, but I'm going to read through the first 8 verses of this chapter. And where this falls in terms of the life of Jesus, he has just had his last supper with his disciples. And he had a conversation with them. We looked at the beginning of the conversation last week. Here's a prayer that he says at the end of this conversation with the disciples. Here's what Jesus says. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, when he finished talking to the disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone in all the earth. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." Remember, go back to last week. Why did Jesus come? So that we could know God. And it's through knowing God that we can have full, meaningful, eternal life. Continue verse 4. "I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you told me to do." Now here's where we've got to pause for a minute. Jesus has just said, "I have completed everything you told me to do." Timeline here. He hasn't gone to the cross yet. He hasn't raised from the dead. He hasn't ascended. He hasn't sent the Holy Spirit. But here is Jesus saying, "Father, I've done everything you have given me to do." There is some kind of stage of ministry that Jesus has completed at this point. But what is it? Because usually, don't we? We think of the cross. Absolutely. It's vital. It's important. We think of the resurrection, the empty tomb. Absolutely. The resurrection, it's the central fact on which everything rests. But here is Jesus saying, before the cross, before the resurrection, "I've done it. I have completed the work you've given me to do." And here's where I'm going to keep, I harp on this all the time. Context, context, context. Let's look at what Jesus says immediately after, "I've finished what you've given me to do." Verse 5, "And now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began." Verse 6 through 8, "I have told these men about you. They were in the world, but then you gave them to me. Actually, they were always yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the words you gave me, and they accepted them, and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. That's what Jesus is talking about in those three verses. That's the work that had been fulfilled. The message that the Father had given Jesus the Son to pass on had been passed on to this group of men, these individuals who would then be able to take that message and spread it to others in a way that they would be able to pass it on to others. See, as you continue to go through the rest of this chapter, you see Jesus make this statement, Father, as you have sent me, I send them. See, every gospel and the book of Acts contains a commission, a sending declaration by Jesus to these disciples. And I'm just going to encourage you, if you're not in a small group, we've got brochures at the back that give descriptions of where small groups happen and when. The ones that deal with sermon content and kind of chew through in a deeper way what gets shared on a Sunday morning, they're going to look at all five commission statements. They're going to look and see, what did Jesus say when he sent out the disciples? What is that commission that he's given? We're going to look at one of them this morning, the most famous one, the one that we call the Great Commission. So turn to Matthew chapter 28. Again, you'll just have to kind of go to the left. It's the first gospel. And again, it's not going to be on the screen so much, but I want to read it, and I want you to read it, whatever translation you have. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. The answer to why Jesus taught so there would be a group of disciples empowered, equipped, and enabled to take the message of Jesus to other people and disciple them, train them, equip them to take the message of Jesus and pass it on to others. The clearest statement of this cycle in Scripture is actually found in a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. Paul was an apostle. He was called by Jesus in a really unique way to be one to know and spread the message of Jesus and to develop others. And one of those he developed was Timothy. And here's what Paul said to Timothy in a letter he wrote. He said, Timothy, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Paul to Timothy, Timothy, you find trustworthy people who will then pass that message on to others. A four-generation cycle. And when I say generation, I don't mean by age. I mean one person passing on to the next who is able, who is taught and trained in a way who can pass it on to someone else and equips them to pass it on to someone else. And you and I, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a product of that process that started almost 2,000 years ago. That's how the church has been maintained and grown and developed for 2,000 years. It's because disciples of Jesus have been discipling others who have been discipling others, and that process continues. But again, there's a danger. I'm going to draw us back to this. There's a danger we need to acknowledge. There is a danger we have of separating the content of Jesus' teaching from the purpose for which he gave it. And the purpose for why Jesus taught was to make disciples who would make disciples, who would make disciples. To put it more simply, we have disconnected the teaching of Jesus from the active process of using his teaching for the purpose for which it was given. And so here is my application for us this morning. And actually, I have four applications, and you're going to fall into one of these four categories. I usually don't like to pigeonhole or buttonhole people, but I'm going to do it this morning anyways. Because I think you fall into one of these four categories. So I have a different application or challenge for you. And the first one is this. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, you don't consider yourself or call yourself a Christian, you know what? You're off the hook. It's like, great. I just want to encourage you with this. I just want to encourage you and challenge you to, would you at least open yourself to what did Jesus say? Put aside what you think about Jesus already, or what you think you know, or what you think about what he said, or you think about what he did, and find someone, or start reading the Gospel of John. Or find someone you know who is a Christian, and ask your questions. Ask your tough questions. And if you don't have somebody, or you don't know somebody, or you've asked questions and you haven't found people who've been able or willing to dialogue with you, I'm here. You let me know. Come talk to me after. Timmy's is on me. I'll take you out for coffee. Ask away. Love to have a chance. You know, not that I'm going to try to convince you and, you know, arm twist you in, you know, into becoming a Christian. No, I just want you to see who Jesus is. Because when we see who Jesus is, it changes everything. So if you're not a Christian, at this point, if you haven't already, you can tune out. Now for the rest of us, if you are a Christian this morning, I have one of three options for you. First is, if you've been listening to this message and your pushback has been this, I'm not comfortable about this, you know, discipling others who disciple others, you know, to disciple someone else, to help train someone to grow in being a follower of Jesus. I'm not even sure I know how to follow Jesus all that well yet. Here's my encouragement to you. Okay, I'll be more blunt. This is my challenge. This is my, you better do this morning. Find someone you see as further along the road of following Jesus than you, and take them out to coffee. Start talking to them and saying, I would like some help. And start a conversation. To start putting the content of Jesus' teaching into practice in deeper and richer ways. Second category, if you're a Christian this morning, maybe your pushback this morning listening is going, you know, look, I know that I don't have it all together. I know I don't have all the answers, which is good because none of us do. But you see yourself as someone, I have enough. Jesus has, you know, invested enough in me, or I have grown enough in him that I see I have something I could pass on, I could give to others. I could be a part of discipling someone else. My pushback, though, is I don't know how to go about doing this. Maybe you've never had someone formally or informally disciple you. You've just kind of picked it up along the way. Maybe that's your pushback this morning. Here's my challenge to you. I want you to talk to me, but not today. And here's my reason. Let's just say I'm trying to take a page out of Jesus', you know, handbook. Jesus taught in a way to kind of make a filter. Those who were serious about his teaching, those who were serious about following, had to pursue him in some way. They couldn't just get kind of carried along for the ride. So this is kind of my way to try to emulate that in some way. I want you to talk to me. I want to invest time, and whether it be myself or finding someone else, to help you learn to disciple others. So if you this morning are, my pushback to this whole disciple-making thing is, I don't know how. I could use some training or some encouragement, some coaching, whatever the case may be. I want you to talk to me, but not today. If you come and talk to me today, I guarantee you I won't remember. The reason is I have purposely left my day book away from my person. So I will not write your name down. And if I don't write it down, Megan knows, I won't remember. And I'm doing that intentionally this morning. Because to be blunt, I want to invest my time in those who are serious about taking the content of Jesus' teaching and putting it into practice. And I am assuming that if I make you wait even 2 days, that will be enough of a filter. That may sound harsh, but let's just be honest with ourselves. How many times do we hear a message and we may go, that sounded great, it tickled our ears, but before we even leave this building, we don't reflect on what we've heard anymore. So if you are serious, you want to get into discipling others, and you need to be trained how, you want to be trained how, call me Tuesday. I'll be more than happy to take your call, and I will write your name down. And we'll go to coffee. Actually, I'm not a coffee drinker. I don't know why I say that. You can have coffee. I'll have a juice. Final category. You're someone here this morning, and you don't have a pushback. Your response to hearing about discipling others is, that's what I've been doing. That's what fires me up, or that's what I try to do. You're intentional about it. I want you also to talk to me, because I want to know who are those that I can pair and partner others with to find right fits, to find connections of personality or life circumstance. Because we've been given a commission by Jesus. We have been given a commission to take his message and to pass it on to others in a way that they will be equipped to pass it on to others. And you're a product of it. You've already received the benefits of that kind of system. My challenge is, if you're not already, you need to get yourself part of that cycle of investing in that next generation and the generations to come. They may not be younger than you. They just may be younger in the faith than you. We're called to make disciples. Who can make disciples? Because that's what disciples of Jesus do. That's what Jesus did. And he's our model. Father God, I want to thank you that you have invested who you are. You have invested a message of life. And Lord Jesus, you spent 3.5 years focusing on 12 so that they could take the message of hope and life and transformation and freedom and joy and peace and truth and pass it on and spread it to those who would follow them. Father, thank you for choosing wisely in fishermen and a tax collector and a former revolutionary, but in finding those who would take your message of life and they would commit their lives to spreading that message to others. Father, would you give us the same boldness, but also that same intentionality of focusing our lives not just about learning your message, Jesus, for our own interest or our own knowledge, but learning from you so that we can pass that on to others. Father, I thank you for what you have invested already into those in this room. And Holy Spirit, I look forward to seeing what you will do for those who respond and how you will work in their lives and how they will see you build into others through them and have the joy of seeing growth happen because you have used them. Father, as we go this week, we're going to come into contact with people of all sorts of different areas and stages and situations in life. Holy Spirit, would you guide us to how to reveal you everywhere we go? And Holy Spirit, would you guide us to spread your message in ways that are meaningful and relevant and show your character? So Father, now as we go, I just pray a blessing upon those that are here. Father, would your love and your peace, would boldness characterize us as we go. May our feet be beautiful. To your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.